After this, Jesus went from place to place in Galilee, for he would not travel in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jewish feast of Tabernacles was drawing near. So his brothers said to him, "Leave here, go into Judea, so that your disciples there may also see the works that you do. This is no place for you, for no one does anything in secret when he wishes to be conspicuous and secure publicity. If you must do these things, if you must act like this, show yourself openly and make yourself known to the world." His brothers did not believe in him, or adhere or trust in or rely on him either. Whereupon Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but any time is suitable for you, and your opportunity is ready. Any time is always here. The world cannot be expected to hate you, but it does hate me, because I denounce it for its wicked works and reveal that its doings are evil. Go to the feast yourself. I am not yet going up to the festival, because my time is not ripe. My term is not yet completed. It is not time for me to go." Having said these things to them, he stayed behind in Galilee. But afterwards, when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he went up also, not publicly, not with a caravan, but by himself quietly, as if he did not wish to be observed. Therefore the Jews kept looking for him at the feast and asking, "Where can he be? Where is that fellow?" And there was among the mass of the people much whispered, discussing, and hot disputing about him. Some were saying, "He is good. He is a good man." Others said, "No. He misleads and deceives the people, gives them false ideas." But no one dared speak out boldly about him for fear of the leaders of the Jews. When the feast was already half over, Jesus went up into the temple courts and began to teach. The Jews were astonished. They said, "How is it that this man has learning, is so versed in the sacred scriptures and in theology, when he has never studied?" Jesus answered them by saying, "My teaching is not my own, but his who sent me. If any man desires to do his will or God's pleasure, he will know, have the needed illumination to recognize, can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God, or whether I am speaking from myself and of my own accord, or on my own authority. He who speaks on his own authority seeks to win honor for himself. He whose teaching originates with himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory and is eager for the honor of him who sent him, he is true. and there is no unrighteousness or falsehood or deception in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet not one of you keeps the law. If that is the truth, why do you seek to kill me for not keeping it? The crowd answered him, "You are possessed of a demon. You are raving. Who seeks to kill you?" And Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all were astounded." Now Moses established circumcision among you, though it did not originate with Moses, but with previous patriarchs, and you circumcise a person even on the Sabbath day. If to avoid breaking the law of Moses, a person undergoes circumcision on the Sabbath day, have you any cause to be angry with me for making a man's whole body well on a Sabbath? I repeat, for making a man's whole body well on a Sabbath. Be honest in your judgment and do not decide at a glance, superficially, and by appearance, but judge fairly and righteously. Then some of the Jerusalem people said, "Is not this the man they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be possible that the rulers have discovered and know that this is truly the Christ?" That's taken from John chapter 7, from verse 1 to verse 27. I think sometimes we need to understand that the controversy in our lives happens because of truth. And when you and I do the best we can with obedience, there is going to be a percentage of misunderstandings and difficult circumstances, even with those that may not comprehend where you're heading or why you're doing what you're doing. But in time, the proof will be visible. I do believe that the Apostle John witnessed some of this, but James, the Lord's brother, witnessed it all. It became a great, great gift to his half-brother. The awareness of what he's trying to do tonight, I believe, is to make the people well and make you whole. I believe this season of the feast is going to jar some of the thoughts and the oppressions and the misconceptions about who Jesus is. And he'll reveal what he wants from each and every one of us. And what he's already deposited in us will continue to grow. I'm reminded of the times when we look at our circumstances and we don't comprehend it. And I believe his brothers didn't understand him. And it was intended of the Father. There are hardships designed by God for us to go through. But when we go through them, we mature and we grow up. And God willing, the next time we go through it more easily and more comfortably. There are great desires in each of us to be more like him. And that's a good thing. But I believe a lot of people don't understand that it comes with a cost. There is persecution as part of the deal. If the Messiah
went through this kind of persecution, so you and I will also. Some radical people in the Middle East right now are confronting believers. And they're paying with their lives, even children. I pray that that never happens here.
But I do believe that the God we serve has promised to take care of each and every one of us. But he's not always going to do it your way or my way, because we perceive from the natural mind rather than the spirit within us. So I'm taking this example of our Savior attending the feast as his example to you and me. Yes? Taking time out to attend the feast is going to cost. And you might be ridiculed. I shared the other day about when we celebrated the feast at my house, and Chris had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and the shofar was a big irritation, and it's been many years and he still talks about it. Oh, you're going to blow that thing again, huh? So for you it is a blessing. For him, it was an irritation. But at least he talks about it. And I look for the day that he attends the feast someday and blows it so that he'll make someone else uncomfortable. That's how God works. What you think is going to be your irritation can become a gift down the road. So if you have received the blessing of watching Jesus come to the feast, why would he be persecuted in that day? Because it was something that needed to be done because of the Father's desire. And I remember the first few years where we observed the feast and we had to stress the reality. Do it in obedience to the Lord and not an order from headquarters. Do it as unto your obedience to the Father who's asking you to take time out to worship him and to focus your intentions on him. So if you'll close your eyes and say, Father, thank you for the example of your Son.
Thank you for the example of your Son.
Continue to confirm me.
Continue to confirm me.
As you continue.
As you continue.
Healing me.
Healing me.
Recreating me.
Recreating.
And transforming me.
Transforming.
In this season.
In this season.
Because every year. I grow closer to you.
I grow closer to you.
And I'm grateful.
And I'm grateful.
For the persecution.
For the persecution.
Because it makes me mature.
Because it makes me mature.
Jesus didn't give a bunch of excuses.
Jesus didn't give a bunch of excuses.
And neither do I.
And neither do I.
Continue to bless.
Continue to bless.
Even those who persecute us.
Even those who persecute us.
And we lift up those who have paid with their lives. To stay true to the Christ,
to stay true to
the anointed one.
The anointed one.
To stay truly confirming that it is worthwhile for us to give up our lives
for the sake of the King.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.